So it is the Road to Paris, the latest one. Neil Atkinson with John Milburn, Phil Blundell and Paul Senior discussing how we've got here, both in the, ever so slightly in the footballing sense, also in the life sense. So we were all together last night. You remember when Phil arrived, Paul? That was nice, wasn't it?
Surprisingly, yeah. yeah, it was nice. Nice to see his lovely old face.
It's a real tonic for the troops, I felt. Gave everyone a fresh new energy.
Well, I thought I was going to miss his birthday. And it was good to see him just to catch the end of it. So, no, it was. It was good. It was one of our other friends left. And Phil arrived and it felt like a good substitution.
Felt honestly perfect swap. We did the twist, the turny fingers. It all got boxed off. Did you have a good day in Paris yesterday, John?
I think we were Paris really, really well yesterday. And I want to give myself a big pat on the back for it, really, because I've been to Paris a number of times, but not really seen enough of it to think I know much about Paris. And after probably a misstep, I would call it, around tea time, I teed badly. We ended up in some very, very nice places yesterday. I had one of the most spectacular cocktails I've had in my life, followed by going to quite an unassuming-looking cafe that just delivered. Oh. It was like being in Lady and the Tramp, basically. It was absolutely
It delivered peaceful. Time. Yeah. And time and time again. We're going to talk about Paul's tea in a minute, but we'll build up to it.
Yeah, but it was like a football miracle, season after season. It was just, it was there. Everything was good. Everything looked good. Everything tasted good.
It was. I'm going to say it is the greatest pint of Cronenberg in the world. As a man who's drank Cronenberg in his life, I'm saying that it's the greatest pint of Cronenberg in the whole wide world. You're getting Cronenberg on in your bars now? Don't, because it's shit everywhere else. It's amazing.
I was going to say, I've done that before. So in Petit Cafe, we started with it. And I learned very quickly, hang on, no, this is really fucking shit. So,
yeah. But it was great last night.
Yeah, it really was great last night. And I suppose when we were in Lisbon, the Sagres tasted amazing. Cronenberg in France tasted amazing. Maybe these things are meant to be genuine imports, I think, in the UK, and I don't think they are. I really don't think they are.
No. Going to Phil. Phil, you came in from where, Charleroi?
/ Brussels. I had to get a minibus to Brussels, and then I got the train from Brussels. Surprisingly quick, hour and 20 minutes. It feels like it should be a lot longer than that.
Paris to Brussels?
Yeah. I was pleased. No. Delighted, because I couldn't really be arsed sitting on my own for a prolonged period of time. Because I left my mates in Brussels, and they've had a nice time in Brussels, and then I came here, and we had a nice time in Paris, didn't we? Not too. We were quite responsible. I was in bed for about 1:15, so I was quite happy with
big
that.
Big day today, big day tomorrow. A lot of responsibility. You've got to pace yourself on these things.
Yeah, I got to one of my favourite bars in the whole world.
You hit the wall like nothing I've ever seen in my life. You sat down, and it was like someone had put a sleeping tablet in your drink.
Yeah, and I do fear that I bought these. I do fear I bought these antihistamines, and they may well have been drowsy ones. But we'll figure that out because I've just taken two. So as a man who's
what a morning we're in for, yeah.
I'm a huge hay fever sufferer. Antihistamines are part of my daily diet, and I think maybe that and a number of Cronenbergs and Negronis and whatnot have added to my downfall at about 11 o'clock. I did get out of bed at 3:45 in the morning as well, I suppose.
It was good to be around Paris, Phil. It's funny, isn't it? Everyone keeps thinking, well, where's the atmosphere going to be and all that sort of stuff. I think even tonight, we are doing our show, so hopefully there'll be some atmosphere there. But I think on the whole, I much prefer the idea that everyone goes and finds their own corner of Paris. It's a massive place with so much going on. It's a great city. I mean, it's a pleasure to be here.
It's a proper European Cup final city, isn't it? I think we had, well, this is the fifth one I've been to, and the first three were in weird places. Like, I think Istanbul's incredible, but it's a bit weird for a European Cup final just because of A, how far away it is. And B, part of it's not actually in Europe. Yeah. And C, it's just a bit different. Athens was crap. Athens was rubbish. Kiev was just weird, ultimately. It was just very odd, as in, like, we were there the Sunday night, for example, and the Sunday night was very, very different to the Friday and the Saturday, to a point where I was like, I don't particularly like this. But it was, you're still at a European Cup final, so you can play. But Paris is, it's fantastic. You can... I'm always a bit confused. People go, oh, where is everyone? Where is everyone? I'm like, well, what?
Don't worry.
Don't worry about it. You'll be fine. You'll find somewhere nice. You're in one of the greatest cities in the world. It'll be great.
You'll get that in, you know, we've been to small towns for European, obviously the smallest recently for Villarreal, but if you're in Salzburg or these places, there'll be a general gathering. Even Madrid, because it's nature with squares, but Paris isn't like that really, is it? It's lovely bars on corners.
Pick your out on Dismont and go there.
Well, there you go, yeah. And, nicely pronounced that film, quite proud. but yet it's a special place, Paris, and you know, just I think we rolled into some bar that'll never be in any reviews or Time Out magazine or whatever, and we just had the the best time. Someone had been once before. We went in there. We were there for 4 or 5 hours. Ate well, drank well, and that's sort of it. I don't think this isn't Plaza Mayor, is it, for Paris? It's not the Madrid experience. It's going to be, just as you say, go and bed in somewhere and just make your own time. And on final day, as we head towards the stadium, I think that's going to be it, isn't it? Where more and more will meet up, and obviously the boss thing and whatnot. That's going to be a celebration of Liverpool fans.
Yeah, but I think weirdly yesterday we didn't really come back well. I made this point yesterday to somebody. I don't think we came across any Liverpool fans yesterday. But actually, if you come across us, you wouldn't necessarily knew we were Liverpool fans. None of us were dressed in kits, or we just look like normal fellas going out for a bevy, really. But I think you're right to say there's lots of organised fun in the calendar over the next few days, and the organisers put that on. Boss Night put that on. The Anfield Rap will be putting those type of things on. But actually, the best bit of the last couple of days has actually been, as you say, doing a bit of exploring, seeing. I don't think you can get authentic Parisian experience, because we were in places that were catering for tourism, but effectively we were near the Eiffel Tower, etc. So they are absolutely set up for that type of thing. But like, to be sat in a restaurant and like virtually everyone in the bars trying snails. and do you know what I mean? I was really into that. I was really into the idea that we were George was drinking chilled red wine, because that's what these guys do. And I like the idea that we embrace things, we try things a little bit differently, and we're more open minded, I think, than what people think football fans are like. And I think that's what I was enjoying yesterday.
The snails things reminds me that when I told one of my mates I'd sold him a ticket, he was like, "It's like you can only have it if you eat 6 snails." And he said, "Fuck that, I'll have 12." Because in Valencia the other week, we had a big pile and there was snails in it. And I had one of the snails, and I've never seen anybody more horrified by anything in my life. So I'm bullying him into eating snails, so thanks for the reminder. I'd forgot about this.
Yeah, I mean, he's just going to find a wonderful conduit.
They are
garlic.
Great. Exactly.
Garlic and butter. Yeah. What did they say? Stuff garlic and butter.
Yeah. Lovely. I get senior on them as well.
Yeah. You absolutely won't. As the owner of 2 French bars, I've still not. I've been telling myself I've just got to get over this, and then I was watching Timo, you know, trying to get one out last night, and I actually got to see the...
Come on now, hey! Oh, look at Blundell again, lads.
Hang on, just to point out, Milburn laughed as well.
Just doesn't have a microphone in front of him.
Exactly. Trying to get one out the shell, I've seen the carcass, and I was like, never ever in my life am I eating one of them fucking things.
Can we talk about Paul's tea, because I missed it and it looked phenomenal?
So Paul's tea, Paul basically.
John's tea.
Yeah, what was happening was John was trying to sort out some tea, and Paul was trying to sort out some tea.
I want the chicken and chips.
They were separate ends of the bar, and they're having conversations. And was it you who shouted at John, or John who shouted at you?
John shouted at me. So he's basically, I've gone, can I have poulet frites, chicken and chips, whatever you want
to
call
it. But I tried to order as well,
and they had none. So John's ordering a steak, which they then had none, and they've gone, we've only got the share and steak left. So me and John were we were looking at it. I looked at John. John looked at me, and he went, "Big fuck off, cow lad." And I was like, "Yeah, little Cote d'Boeuf for the boys."
When it came, me and Milburn, we followed it across the room, like it was the Pied Piper of steak. It had these sauces with it, John. Honestly, you and I were agog at the scenes.
I was like, when people who've got dogs and they walk through the kitchen with a roast dinner and the dog follows the dinner. Yeah. That was me and Neil going across the bar yesterday. And it was put down, and my goodness, it looked tremendous. It was a 1.3 kilogram steak.
Is that what it was, yeah?
1.3 kilograms. So I reckon that in normal money is about 6 steaks worth of meat. That
the bone weighs a lot, but I'll try and row back from this one. But
you know, feeling a general well-being.
It was.
You gave me a taste. It was glorious, wasn't
it?
Yeah,
it was. Excuse me. It was lovely. Not in a sort of very pure buttery sort of steak way, but in a very French authentic. Nice bowl of chips, nice side salad, which didn't get touched one bit, by the way.
Ornamental side salad.
Yeah, it was very ornamental. Just me and John, steak and chips and peppercorn sauce. And it was great. It was a good night.
It was indeed. Looked the absolute business. So we're having a lot of fun. I'm glad you can share it with us and enjoy it with us all the way through as we do this. Getting closer and closer to the real business, Phil. I did some stuff with Five Live this morning, and some stuff at BBC Breakfast. And JJ from ESPN came to say hello as well. there's a lot of Klopp talk today. I feel like these things, people work out what the story is and when, because you can't just talk about the game. But there's a lot of people back home will be onto the fact that, you know, Klopp's done a lot of the interviews at the mixed on the mix zone, sort of the media day on Wednesday. Was it Wednesday you were there? Yep, marvellous. Harriet, the producer, by the way. Hi, Harriet. Say hello to everyone, Harriet.
Hi, everyone.
Did you have a nice night yourself, Harriet?
I had a lovely pizza, which doesn't feel very French, but it was what I needed.
Pizzas are
after,
good.
After a 15-hour bus journey, it was stodge what I needed, and it delivered. And a few mojitos. It was all different flavours, so I went through the flavour list. Had a great time.
Oh, they steal. It's factoid. They steal all the pizza chefs from Naples. Pay them more money.
Is that,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, that's what they do. Yeah.
So there you go. Better pizzas than Naples. So everyone wants to talk about the manager, Phil, which is interesting because, well, not interesting, it's what he is. He's such a magnetic presence. But it's interesting a lot of this has been framed in terms of the nature of him, the fact that he will talk about other issues than football, the fact that he can, in a way that I don't think he doesn't set out to capture the nation's attention, but I think insofar as anyone in English football right now has, I actually stopped to think about this because I'm literally doing this on the BBC this morning. I think he has captured the wider nation's attention more than the footballing nation's attention than any figure I can think of in the last 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, he has. There's a real sort of... I sort of work with a lot of people who are into sport but not necessarily into football, and they all know Klopp. They're all happy to engage and talk about Klopp, and there's a lot of, wow, what a fella he is, and he is. He's an incredible person. Did he do something yesterday that I've missed, by the way?
No, he's had a lot of interviews with people on Wednesday, I think,
right,
so
okay.
He's talked about things.
That's fair. I thought he'd done something specific that I'd missed, so I'm glad I hadn't missed something, because that would have been silly, wouldn't it?
Oh, we all have, if that's the case, Phil.
Yeah, excellent news. But yeah, there's a real magnetism about him, isn't there? And he's the way he can talk, the way he can get people to buy into him. It's, you know, it's the way, ultimately, the way that the rest of the country's able to listen to him and go, wow. That's why the players will run through brick walls for him, ultimately, isn't it? He's such a... I don't think there's anybody who can't buy into him. Even if you're not playing for him every week, in terms of the squad players, they're still 100% in on him, aren't they?
I think he's a man who's really, really comfortable in his own skin, to the extent he's got the... not only the charisma, but the confidence to weigh in on like social topics as well, which like people could argue, none of your business, mate. Do you know what I mean? And he's quite happy to stray out of his lane whenever he wants, whenever he feels it's the right time to do. And I've got a lot of admiration for that, because he's the manager of Liverpool Football Club. He doesn't need any more shit. Like, I'm sure he's going to love on his place without getting a load of people on his case because he said something about the NHS or he said something about vaccines. I mean, he's absolutely... he's got the conviction to back it up, and one of the million reasons why I just think we're so lucky to have him, and the annoyance in other fans when he extended his contract was just absolute. There's a reason behind that, isn't it? I mean, if probably with the exception of Guardiola, any other manager extending the contract in this country, no one's asked. It's not a news story, but Klopp's committing for another 4 years is making all of our rivals just like, oh dear.
The fact they talk about him tells you a lot of the time about the envy I think that they have of him, and especially for those who aren't going so well, so the likes of Manchester United. Did you even see him in Fergie the other day when he's giving them the award? It's funny, but it's also sad and true for Manchester United, because that was a thing that they wanted to arrive at. I think they offered him the job in the past, haven't they? And they couldn't get him. But you said to me yesterday, Neil, he could run any of the top 500 businesses in the world. Yeah, and you sort of feel this. His leadership style, his man management, his general aura, but also, as you say, when he talks about issues and whatnot, he talks about them so well, and he has the courage and his convictions to front it. And yeah, I think we're very blessed to have him.
I think one of the things about him, which is why he resonates, Phil, the way in which he does, is that none of this feels forced. There's a real level, even when he, at times when he talks about sort of issue-based stuff, I think there's an element of, most of the time, it's because, well, you've asked me, I wasn't going to come and talk about this, but you've asked me, so if you're going to ask me, then I'm going to tell you. And I think that there's a real sort of authenticity about him, which, you know, I think, again, I think it grabs people, and not least because lots of aspects of the age within which we live at the moment, there's a lot of inauthenticity. And then you get Jürgen, who is just prepared to be himself. And then at another level, there's another part of him where, you know, his life, even though he was a footballer at Mainz, his life... through his career at Mainz is a relatively, certainly income bracket sense, relatively normal life, a relatively normal existence. So up until the age of 40, all of his touchstones are that of relatively normal people, and not that of people who managed to live in a gilded football bubble for a long period.
Yeah, there's a real honesty about him as well, in terms of, you ask him a question, he'll say what he thinks. He doesn't really care. I mean, he's mostly, he's mostly spot on, but if you disagree with him,
yeah,
he doesn't seem to be bothered. It's like he'll just say, like, you've seen him say something and he's a couple of times gone, oops, or whatever, and he just doesn't really, he doesn't mind what's going on, does he? He's happy to go, yeah, well, this is what I think.
Did we all see brain fuck?
Yeah, that was so funny.
I love that. That's the innocence of him, you know. I just loved his... He's a bit clumsy, Klopp, you know, in a way. I don't think he's cool as fuck.
No, he's not. I think he is. And I haven't been fortunate to meet him. Like, one of the things I sort of like about him is that he is, like, I've often said this, he is a 6'4" lanky fella. He's got arms and legs, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, he's not really, you know, he's not constantly suave or anything like that. I think he is clumsy, but then he goes, oh, that's what I thought it was. And he's able to own that because of the authenticity of him.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He's clumsy and an endearing way, and some of the stuff with around the language and stuff, and the fact you can just sit there, you can sort of see him thinking about it and laughing it off. It's funny.
What I liked was the idea that for weeks or months he'd been thinking to himself, why the fuck can't I say this? What these can all say, this, why can't I? Pricks. It was almost his, it's just a really funny aspect of it. He's got a job to do now, John. We'll go around everyone because I'll come back around onto Phil because I'm not quite sure when we're grabbing him again. We are here for a purpose. It's lovely to see 1.3 kilograms of meat move. It's lovely to have glorious cocktails. It's lovely for all of that, but we are here for a purpose, and that purpose is Saturday, and it is to see them win. As we get closer and closer to it, the more I'm backing them. Not in a sense that I feel like we've been part of magic. Liverpool know magic. But we also know when magic runs out or when magic goes one step too far. Real Madrid have had a lot of magic and they've had the football miracles that we've joked about that lots of teams don't get, especially our blue brethren. Real Madrid are full of football miracles this season, but we also know what happens when football miracles run out, and I feel as though all common sense is increasingly pointing towards Liverpool on Saturday.
Yeah, I think that's really fair. I think as the game gets closer, and I've been trying to almost push it away as almost like tomorrow's problem, and I suppose to some degree it still is, but I was having a little think about it this morning, and I think we've been in finals before where perhaps Athens as a game where we probably had the run of everything. We were better team, but the game got away from us in moments, and I think this Real Madrid team have got the ability to do something like that to you in moments. But I think if it doesn't have that almost miraculous edge, if it turns out to be a boxing match on points rather than a knockout, then Liverpool should easily be in the ascendancy here. And I think we've got to keep our wits about us, but I think if we play our game and we play close to our best, even if their best turns up, I think we should comfortably win the match.
Keep our wits about us is, I think, the thing, Phil. I think about who they've done the magic to, and they've done the magic to Paris Saint-Germain, and they've done the magic to Manchester City, and they've done the magic to Chelsea. I feel Chelsea have managed to capture themselves a little bit of European DNA in recent years, but Chelsea arguably turn it on its head in the second leg. You know, it's the first leg where they actually get a result in that one. It's in the second leg where Chelsea turn it on its head to a degree. I feel a bit like, your magic works against Paris Saint-Germain. Your magic can work against Manchester City. We've got some of our own and we know how to counter this. We're Liverpool Football Club.
Yeah, I completely agree. There's thing with PSG and Man City, they look like they've sort of not really mastered the competition as a whole. Yeah, and I know that's quite unfair on Manchester City, given that they basically should be in the final and they were in last year's final, but there's still something that isn't quite there with them. And it's the same with PSG. Just PSG are far further away in that respect, but I look at this Real Madrid team, they've been out this competition about six times. Like, it's genuinely ridiculous how many times they have been dead and buried and managed to come back.
Is it this year they got beat by Sheriff?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So this is it, and I think it was Carragher, I was watching the most recent overlap show, said they've been beaten more in this competition this year than Liverpool have been in all competitions. Mm. And that's sort of something to go off, isn't it? Where, how's the game going to go? Well, I think our nervousness, natural nervousness, our desire to win, all of the things that you compass as a Liverpool fan will go, oh, it's very, very 50-50. But I think if you look statistically and outside of this, we are big favourites for it. Neil, you've said it to me over the last couple of days, you know, yes, well, they might be Tottenham Hotspur level, but we've drew twice this year with Tottenham Hotspur, and that for me is the problem on the day. It is what Liverpool team turns up.
Yep.
It's what Real Madrid team turns up, and My big worry is obviously you see sometimes that it looks like a team's name is written on the competition, and you've got to say this year that looks like Real Madrid.
Yep.
However, I want to be there and spoil a party. I want Liverpool to go and just be better. And I think that's, apart from, obviously we're expected to do that against Tottenham, but I think a lot of the time in finals in my lifetime, it's been that Liverpool are the underdog, maybe with a magician like a Luis Suarez in the team or a Steven Gerrard or whatever it may be. With this time, it's, well, hang on, no, you are better than Real Madrid. Yep. Go and fucking prove it, you know?
I think there's a weird thing in that the whole, there's a lot of people going, oh, they won the league a month ago, they're fully rested. I don't think that's a positive. I think this idea that they've been able to not play at real intensity for a month and rest players is not what you want. Like, you only have to remember that final in 2019 when we haven't played for 3 weeks and both teams basically looked like they couldn't really play football and they'd forgotten what they were supposed to be doing, which is not, it's just not the thing you want in a European Cup final. I think that the okay, our players have been going twice a week, every week since about February. But the idea that they got a week off this week must have been huge for them, because their bodies must have got to Wednesday and be like, football today, I'm feeling it a bit. And then Thursday morning, their bodies wake up and gone,
yeah,
you messing? That was nice, wasn't it? And then they're probably like a coiled spring today, ready to go. Like, and then they get through to tomorrow. I think it'd be quite interesting. I think the team sheet's quite interesting for me tomorrow, and I'll. My confidence level will relate to that. I think if you need to see how Thiago is, need to see how Fabinho is.
So do you want the two of them to start?
I'm minded to start Henderson and not start Fabinho, but you can bring Fabinho on in the same way that I think he wants to finish with Milner on the pitch. I think he can possibly finish with one of Henderson and Fabinho on. And if you can basically start Henderson and Thiago, and probably Keita, it gives you options, especially with the five subs. I think there's also, there's ways, isn't there?
I think the managers look to impact Champions League games more than anything from the bench. He's used five subs really intelligently. And people will disagree with me on this, and I think he starts Thiago and Diaz on the bench. I think he looks to stretch the game a bit more with Diaz later on in the game. And for me, I want him to start.
Who are you having in the front three?
Jota, Salah and Mane.
Jota.
Yeah. I think, I wouldn't, based on his recent performance level, and maybe I'm overthinking it, but I've seen him do it in games where he's been able to look to the bench and go, okay, it's been a cagey affair for the first 45, an hour, whatever, now how are you going to handle this?
Yeah.
And I think if he's looking to Fabinho and Jota, I don't think the impact's the same as going, well, there's Thiago and Diaz.
No, that's fair.
And I think these things will have a natural nervousness in the first 45 minutes to an hour. Well, first half an hour, 45 minutes, where the teams will try and figure each other out. They won't want to give too much away, but the game's got to be won. And I think if you can go, okay, here's this move, I think he'll look to deal with it in blocks of the game, because he's got so many subs to use.
I'm also mindful that it could be a two-hour game. This could, it could be more than a two-hour game, and I think that's going to play into his mind. I think we've be our third cup final, and it could be the third one that goes to extra time. And I think
he prepares for these games to go all the way.
So my only thing on this is I think he might do what Paul's saying, or I think he might do what he did against City in the FA Cup semi-final. And there's a chance he sets them up and wants them to be exactly the same as they were against City in the FA Cup semi-final, which is that we're just going to run all over you.
And we're
going to do it with Thiago and Keita, and we're going to do it with Diaz left, and we're going to run all over you. And I think that's almost his decision. His decision is, do I opt for, it will become a cagey game, we'll build ourselves into it, and we'll have strength, we'll have moves, or does he go, we're just going to run all over you, and I'll see where I am on 60. And I think that's his decision, as much as anything else.
Do you think that means Konate? I think Konate starts, to be honest. I've been umming and ahhing over it the last few days, and I think I've come to the conclusion that the pace in behind Trent...
Well, he has stood in every big Champions League game, hasn't he?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But I just look at the way Vinicius... You saw what Vinicius did to Fernandinho, right? He's not going to do the same to Trent, because Trent can actually run and isn't 37. But having the ability to... You can probably get Trent 5 yards further up the pitch with Konate than you can with Matip. And also, if you get Trent further up the pitch, you've probably got Vinicius back 5 yards as well, which is also a massive thing.
Yeah, so it's 10 yards gain there, isn't it? So I think Konate is almost certain to start. I think Keita's almost certain to start. Salah Mané, definite. I think some of the things here are...
that we don't know is, well, Fabinho might be fit, but is he fit for 30 or is he fit for 120? There shouldn't be a match fit issue, and I think that's a positive with all these little knocks we've got. I was trying to say this the other day, if we see them training, so if you can see Thiago on the pitch tonight and training, well, that's fine, you know, because it's only, what, 5 days ago today, is it, that we played Wolves, not even. So, you know, I think that's not a concern. There's no rhythm concern with them. It's not that they've missed three or four games, so they're probably good to go, because 2 days of this would have been recovery for these players anyway.
Well, you said they had 2 days off.
So, you know, so they missed what, one training session? Is that it? And I think most of that wouldn't have been too intense. So if Thiago can get a full training session in today and he has no impact on that, then I think he'll be good to impact the game. You know, Fabinho, I'd love to see start. I would like to see Fabinho, Keita and Henderson as the midfield three. But let's see, maybe he'll just bring a surprise. We'll get the Dream 11, and as Neil says, we try and run all over them. That is obviously the other option, is try and beat them, because I don't want to get it to the last 15 minutes of extra time. And we're looking at a scenario like it was in the FA Cup final, where no one can run.
Yep.
It's a dead fixture, and we're just going, this is just going to penalties, because going into this game, it's not 50-50. Liverpool are better than 50-50, but all penalty shootouts are 50-50, and I think they're bad odds for Liverpool, so we do have to try and go and win the game in 90.
Okay, thank you very much to Phil, to John, and to Paul Harriet for producing. Coming up later on, there will be Under the Lights. We've got an AFQ coming out for you today as well, that we did on the bus yesterday. All rocking and rolling all the way through. A couple of brilliant preview videos as well. Everything that you need on the Anfield Wrap in the build-up to the biggest game of our lives.